For a lot of people, maybe yourself, once Christmas is over and things get back to normal, you got to put away the decorations and there's all this buildup to the Christmas day and you've been planning for months, I've got to get the right gifts and I've got to do the right meal and I've got to travel or people are coming. And then the day after Christmas, we just kind of, there's sometimes for some of us, just almost a letdown, like, okay, it's over and the new year's coming and I've got this tension at work and the things that I wanted to have happen in the last year, it didn't quite work out the way that I thought it was going to. So there's all of these competing emotions. And so the question that we wrestle with during this series is, what about the Christmas story can carry us into the new year? Or do we just, when we put away the decorations and put away the lights and get back to normal, do I kind of put my thought of Christmas away with that? Or again, is there something in the Christmas story that propels me day in and day out? We think that it is. We think that the story of Christmas, as beautiful it is during this time of the year, really, as you move forward in life, that's where it becomes real. And so here's the question that we're going to wrestle with today. How can I trust God on the day after Christmas when life isn't going as planned? Because we're all going to have seasons like that. We're all going to have an idea. This is how life is supposed to go. And then there's the reality that I'm living in. Right now, you got all the lights and all the twinkle and all the people are in good moods and all those things. But when this is away and you look into the new year and you realize, you know what, this last year didn't go the way that I planned it for it to go. And I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel for this year coming up. How do I trust God in that? How do I trust God when it seems like, from my perspective, God seems very, very silent? I'm trying to do all the right things. I'm coming to church. I'm opening up the scripture. I'm trying to live righteously. And yet it feels like God isn't really coming through for me. What do you do with that? Here's the tension that all of us at some point in our life are going to experience. How do I continue to trust God even when it doesn't seem like God is coming through for me? And there's this beautiful story. We've talked about it before in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible this morning, if you want to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. It's also going to be up here on the screen. But there's this story of these two couples, or this one couple, these two people, that speak to this exact thing, that you can continue to trust God even when life isn't going the way that you thought it was going to go. Here's the story as it's told by Luke chapter 1, verse number 5. In the days of King Herod, Judea, this is before Jesus was born, before the shepherds heard the voice of the angels, before the wise men went towards Bethlehem. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were, this is important, both were righteous in God's sight. So Luke goes out of his way to let us know, before he gets to the tension of the story, these people are not nominal Christians. These people are doing all the right things at all the right times. They are living righteously. They are doing exactly what they're supposed to do all different days when they're supposed to do it. And we would think that if we were making up this story, we would say, because they're living so well, God ought to answer every prayer. Because they're living so well, that God ought to do all the things that they want him to do. And so we build it up in our mind. My life is dictated. Am I good? God's going to do good things for me. Am I not so good? Well, maybe God won't do such good things for me. But there's that tension that we face that we say, man, I feel like I'm doing all the right things, but God's not coming through for me. Well, you've got a friend in Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were living without blame according to all the commands and the requirements of the Lord, but they didn't have any kids. They couldn't have any kids. They had prayed for years and years and decades and still couldn't have any kids. Could not conceive because both of them, and at this point, they were well along in years. And so now at this point, the dream is dead. Like, do we even pray about this anymore? I mean, yeah, when we're in our 20s and when we're in our 30s and when we're in our 40s, sure. But now, I mean, we're just old and things have not gone the way that we wanted or expected or wished that they would go. And so if you find yourself ever, maybe it's today or it's somewhere in the future, in that tension that I've been faithful, but God doesn't seem to be coming through for me. I'm doing the right things, but it doesn't seem that the right things are happening to me. Here's the hope at Christmas. And here's what I want you to cling on to. Whether you go into the new year and you know you're still stressed about these things, or relationships still have tension, or where the finances still aren't quite making ends meet, whatever you find yourself in, here's what you can hold on to at Christmas and in the days after Christmas, is that God was at work the whole time. Now, when we look at it from 30,000 feet, we think God has not come through for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so why would Zechariah and Elizabeth continue to be faithful to him? Now, some of us, here's what we also know. We also know, some of us, the end of the story. We know that at the end of the story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're going to get pregnant and they're going to give birth to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to kind of announce the coming of Jesus. We know the end of the story. So we think it's a great story. We think, man, this story is awesome, but Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were just living in it. They were in where you're at. They're just living day by day. They had no idea what the end of the story is going to be. But if they could gather with you, and if they could hear your story, and if they listen to the tension that you're feeling, what they would remind me, what they would remind you, is that when it seemed like God wasn't at work, when it seemed like God was totally silent and totally absent, God was at work the whole time. And that's what I want you to hold on to. That even when you can't see the hand of God, you can trust that God is doing things even that I cannot perceive. And so five things really quickly that we see in this story, and then we're going to be done for the morning, and we'll talk about how we're going to celebrate Christmas Eve here in a couple days. Here's what I want you to do. In the days after Christmas, if you don't feel like God is coming through for you, five things that you can trust. Number one is this: you can trust God's presence when you can't see his activity. You can trust that God is with you, that he is present, even when it feels like all of my prayers are just hitting a lead ceiling. It feels like all the things that I feel like I'm trying to do the right way aren't doing anything for me. You can trust that God is present even when you can't see that he is active. Verses number 8 and 9 said that this way: when his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it just so happened that he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And so Zechariah had just decided, even though God hasn't come through for me the way that I expected him to come through for me, I'm going to continue to be faithful. The temptation that all of us are going to face is to say, well, God isn't coming through for me, and so why keep showing up? Why keep serving? Why keep trying to live the right way? Why keep praying? Why keep opening up the scripture? It doesn't feel like God is doing anything on my behalf. But Zechariah, he just decided, no matter what God is or isn't doing, I'm going to continue to be faithful. I'm going to continue to show up. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do. And I'm just going to trust that in behind the scenes, in ways that I can't see, God is still at work. And so if you find yourself in that tension, if you find yourself in that frustration that I'm doing the right things, but God doesn't seem to be doing the right thing for me, here's what I want you to remember. We see it over and over and over again in scripture. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Zechariah and Elizabeth did all the right things. Every day they showed up and did the right thing, and God still didn't let them have a baby. There wasn't anything wrong with them. There's not anything wrong with you. You just continue to be faithful. You continue to be obedient. You continue to do on each day what God has called you to do. And you can just trust. I don't see his activity, but I'm just going to trust his presence. I don't see his hand at work in my life, but I'm continuing to just trust that his presence is with me. I'm going to continue to follow God. Here's what I want you for you in the new year. I'm going to continue to follow God in spite of what I see around me. I'm going to continue to be obedient to God in spite of it doesn't feel like God is coming through for me. So trust that God is present even when it doesn't feel like he's active. Here's the second one. Trust that God has heard your prayers. That God, every prayer that Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed, every tear that they had cried, every night where they wanted so badly to hear the cry of a baby, and they prayed, God, would you please let us have a baby? Would you please let us have a baby? It would seem from the outside saying, God didn't hear those. God is ignoring those. God is not interested in those. But what Zechariah is getting ready to hear is that every single prayer that they prayed, God heard. And that's the same that's true for you. Is that the prayers that you have prayed in the middle of the night, and the prayers that you've prayed for your kids, and the prayers that you've prayed for your finances and for your marriage and for whatever it is that you're going on in your life, whatever prayers that you have prayed, they have been heard. Verse number 10, at the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. He was overcome with fear, but the angel said to him, hey, don't be afraid, Zechariah, because here's the words, your prayer has been heard. Now we think, well, wait a minute, if my prayer has been heard, why hasn't my prayer been answered? But your prayer has been heard. And we want my prayer to be answered right now in just this way, that I want my prayer to work. I go out of my mouth and then God does it right then. But what Zechariah discovered from the angel is it took decades and decades and decades of prayer that it seemed like God was not active. And yet the promise was, Zechariah, I've heard your prayer. I've heard the cry of your heart. I've heard Elizabeth's cry of her heart. That in your life, there's never been a tear that's been wasted. There's never been a prayer that you've prayed that hasn't been heard. It might not have been answered the way that you wanted it to be answered, but God has heard you. There's nothing wrong with you. And so keep praying. Keep being faithful. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm chapter 66. However, God has listened. That's something that some of you can carry on into this new year. God has listened. Well, if God had listened, why wouldn't he? I don't know why God doesn't do all the things we want him to do. But I know that he's present even when he's not active. And I know because of what the scripture has said that God has listened, that he's not deaf to you, that he's not indifferent to you, that he's not ignoring you. God has listened. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. That can be enough to anchor some of you. That maybe God is not active the way that I want him to be active, but I know that he's not ignoring me. I know that he's not held me at an arm's length. God has heard me. He has paid attention to me. Blessed be God. He has not turned away my prayer or turned his faithful love from me. And so the truth that I want you to carry in with you the day after Christmas and in the days where it doesn't seem like God is active is that an unanswered prayer is not an unheard prayer. That even though the prayer isn't answered the way that you want it to be answered, it doesn't mean that God isn't active. It doesn't mean that God isn't interested. It doesn't mean that God is ignoring you. It just, in God's sovereignty, he has said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do in the timeline that that you want me to do it, but I've heard you. I've listened to you. I've saw when you're struggling. I've saw when you have been hurting. Here's the third thing that we can trust. We can trust that God's way is better. So we can trust that God is present even when he's not active. We can trust that God really has heard my prayer and that I can just trust that God's way is better. I have a plan and I think that my plan is a pretty great plan. And I think that God should do it this way and then do this and then he should go this way and then I can just trust though that God's way is better. What did Zechariah and Elizabeth want? They just wanted a son. They just wanted somebody to carry out and carry on the family name. They just wanted somebody to be able to play with and laugh with. And God had something way better. He was not just going to be a son. He was going to be the one that heralds the coming of Jesus. Verse number 15, for he will be, this is what will eventually be John the Baptist. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. Not just an ordinary son. Not just a son that grows up in the family business and you know you can inherit your house. No, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they just wanted a son. They just wanted somebody to be able to carry on the family name, but God had something better. I'm going to give you not just a son. I'm going to give you the one that is going to announce the birth of Jesus. He's going to be the one to pave the way for Jesus. He's going to be the one that years and decades and millennia in the future, people are still going to remember his name. God's way is better. And I know that you have a plan. And I have a plan, and I want things to go A, B, C in just a straight line. And I don't want there to be any stops. I don't want there to be any curves. I don't want there to be any detours. I have a plan, and I kind of want God to just go along with my plan. But what we can remember the day after Christmas, when God is not active, but he's present, and when he doesn't seem like he's heard my prayer, his way's better. His way is ultimately for our good. 1 Corinthians said it this way. It is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, what God has prepared these things for those who love him. God's got a plan for your life, and it's better than your plan. And God's got a plan for your marriage, and it's better than your plan. And God's got a plan for your future, and it's better than your plan. And God's way is better even when God's way is longer. Now, I want God to do things on my timeline. I want God to do it this way, and I want him to do it quick. I kind of want the microwave theology that I think it, I pray it, and I have it. But I can trust the day after Christmas, God's way is better. Sometimes, though, the better things take longer. And I have to trust that even when I can't see God at work, he must be at work. Even when I can't see his activity, he must be present. Even when he doesn't answer the prayers the way that I want him to answer my prayers, he is still listening to me. I can trust that when he wants to do what he wants to do, it is going to be better for me. And then here's the fourth thing that I can trust. I can trust, and I'm so grateful for it in my own life, I can trust that God can work through imperfect people. And again, Zachariah and Elizabeth, they were faithful. They did all the right things. But Zachariah has the moment that we all have. He's hearing this promise from the angel, and he says, that's not possible. I mean, maybe 30 years ago or 50 years ago, maybe when we were young, but I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm pretty old. There's no way this can happen. And we're there, right? We think, God, I'm gonna go my own way. I'm gonna force your hand. I'm gonna try to do it my own way. But what God promises and what God shows us is even in my imperfections, and even in the times where I don't get it right, and even in the times where I try to make it happen on my own, that God doesn't abandon me. That there's no dead ends with God. There's just detours, and that God can redeem, and God can take the past, and God can take my bad decisions and the shrapnel of my life, and he can still work with it. His work in my life does not require my perfection, that God can redeem even the worst parts of my life. And we see it in verse number 18. How can I know this? I mean, you're talking to an old guy. We're gonna have a son, Zachariah asked the angel, for I am an old man, and my wife, and he's a smart husband. He wouldn't ever call his wife old. And just in case she's listening in, he's like, my wife is, well, she's along in years. You know, I'm old. I get that I'm old, and my wife is, she's old-ish. You know, it's just not gonna happen. And the angel answered him, and I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Now listen, you're gonna become silent. So there are consequences. When we don't believe God, and when we go our own way, and when we don't trust God, there are consequences, and Zachariah is gonna have some consequences here. But God didn't abandon him. Gabriel didn't say, well, fine, I'll find somebody else. Oh, you're not going to believe me? Well, let me go find somebody that will believe me. Man, there's consequences to when I don't trust God, but God doesn't abandon me. God doesn't leave me. God doesn't say, well, I'll find somebody better. You're going to become silent and be unable to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. Can I just invite you to ask, are there some words from God that you're not believing? Are there some promises from God that you think there's just no way that could possibly happen in my life? Could you just, on the days after Christmas, could you just choose to say, I'm gonna believe what God has said. And I don't see the activity, but I can trust his presence. And I haven't heard that he's answered my prayers, but I can keep praying. And I can trust that his way is better even when his way is longer. Just believe the word. Believe what God has said. It's gonna be fulfilled in its proper time. And so if you look back at your life and you would say, I don't think there's any way God can use my life because I did this, and then we got divorced, and then we went and did this thing, and I got bankrupt here, and then I really went off the rails over here, and I did. God can redeem. God is faithful. God is a redeemer, and he can bring beauty where there is chaos. He can bring restoration where there's brokenness. What do we have to do? We just have to believe that word. We have to believe that God is still faithful, that God is still at work, that God has not left me, that God hasn't abandoned me, even in the seasons and the times that I've abandoned him. And the broken parts of my life, God can use it. And the difficult seasons of my life, God can use it. And so, just believe God's word and trust it will be fulfilled in its proper time. Here's the fifth one. Just trust. Man, God can do the impossible. And I don't know what you're facing today. And I don't know what you're gonna face in 2026. And I don't know what kind of challenges are gonna come up against you. But I know because of what Zechariah and Elizabeth encountered, because of story after story in scripture, that I can trust that God really can do the impossible. I could not make anything happen on my own. There's no way that old people like Zechariah and Elizabeth can get pregnant. That ship has sailed, but I can trust that God can do the impossible. Verse number 21 through 25, let's finish our story. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. And when he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. And when the days of his ministry were completed, he went back to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth, impossible, conceived. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And I just love this line that she said. She said, "This is the Lord. I want so much for your life." To be able to look at different pockets and seasons of your life, and you can say, "Oh, it was only the Lord that could do this." I want you to be able to look at different times and seasons of your life and say, "I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't have gotten this. I couldn't have received this. My marriage couldn't have been restored. There was no way this was gonna happen except the Lord. The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people." We see it over and over in scripture. There's a lot of things that are impossible for me. There's nothing that's impossible to God. Do you know what else is impossible? It's impossible for a virgin to get pregnant. It's impossible for dead people to rise from the dead. Our entire faith is based on impossible. And when you look at your life, and when you look at the life of your family or the life of this problem that you're facing, you might think to yourself, "This is impossible." Great news. Our whole faith is based on impossible. And yet God, I can have faith. God can do what I can't do. And so if you find yourself, maybe it's today, maybe it'll be sometime in the tension, in the future, of that tension of, I'm trying to do all the right things, but it doesn't feel like the right things are happening to me. If you find yourself in that frustration, is it worth showing up? Is it worth still trusting? Is it worth still believing? Is it worth still praying? Is it worth, is any of these things worth I'm doing? Zechariah and Elizabeth, if they were to come and have a little conversation to you, do you know what they would say to me? You know what they would say to you? Don't stop trusting God. Because Zechariah and Elizabeth would say, we lived as though God was active and faithful, even though we could not see his activity and faithfulness. We kept living as if God was present, even when we couldn't see his activity. We keep trusting him, we kept following him, and what he did in our life, we could have never imagined. And we shudder to think what would have happened if we would have walked away from God. If we would have abandoned God, if we would have stopped being faithful, we shudder to think what wouldn't have come into our life if we would have said, "God, we're done with you." Zechariah and Elizabeth would say, I need to keep trusting God, because this is where we'll finish. God isn't done writing your story. And I know your story feels long, and I know you're discouraged, and I know you're looking at this new year and you're thinking to yourself, is anything ever going to get any better? God is still writing your story. And I know it doesn't feel like he's active, but he's present. And I know that he hasn't answered your prayers the way that you want him to answer your prayers, but he's heard them. And his way is better, even though you have a plan for your own life. And the worst parts of your life, he can redeem. Why? Because he can do the impossible. And so you just keep being faithful. You keep being obedient. You keep waking up every day. God, I'm gonna trust you with the things that I understand. I'm gonna trust you with the things that I don't understand. I'm gonna trust that you are active in the behind the scenes that I cannot see. And Christmas, for all of us, Christmas is the reminder that God can be trusted because God keeps his promises. God kept his promise to Zechariah. God kept his promise to Elizabeth. They had a baby. God will keep his promise to you if you'll let him. But you've got to continue to be faithful. You've got to continue to wake up every day saying, God, I trust you with this. And I don't see your activity, but I trust your presence. And I have my own way that I want things to go, but I trust that your way is better. And so give me the faith to trust you in the waiting. Give me the faith to trust you when I don't feel like you're doing the things that I want you to do in the timeline that I want you to do them. And just keep praying. Have you stopped praying? Is there something that you've given up? Is there something that you say, well, God, there's just no way this is gonna happen? God's heard those prayers. God's seen those tears. Have you thought to yourself, there's no way that God can use my life after all I've done this and I got involved over here and I really wasn't faithful here? God, man, he can use you. Don't give up on God. God has not given up on you. And you just trust that God really can do the impossible. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word here on Christmas. And Lord, for some of us, this is not something we need today, but it's something maybe we need in the future. For some of us, we're in that tension. For some of us, we have been praying and it doesn't feel, if we're honest, it doesn't feel like you've heard. We've wanted something so, so much and it doesn't feel like you're active. And so Lord, this Christmas, would you help us to trust in you? Lord, this Christmas, would you help us to say, even when you are not active the way that I want you to be active, I can trust that you are present. Lord, I pray and for people that you really would do the impossible in people's lives. You're the God of the impossible. And so Lord, I'm praying for impossible situations, impossible health concerns, impossible relational trouble, impossible things that maybe we don't even dare pray about anymore. Lord, I'm praying that you would do impossible things among your people, that this Christmas we can trust you because you always keep your promises. It's in your name that we pray, amen.